Letters.
On car safety, the UN and Palestinians, Chinese data, leaving work, and museums.
Car safety.
From Dudley Curtis, European Transport Safety Council, Brussels. The Economist should be congratulated for its analysis of crash data showing the danger that heavy sport utility vehicles and pickups pose to the drivers of smaller cars in America. Article Too Much of a Good Thing, August 31st. Research by the Vias Institute, which focuses on improving road safety, confirms that your findings also apply to Europe. Its analysis also highlights the devastating impact of large vehicles on pedestrians and cyclists. For a pedestrian or cyclist hit by a pickup, the risk of serious injury increases by 90% and of fatal injury by almost 200%. The researchers concluded that when the mass of a vehicle is increased by 300 kilograms, that's 660 pounds, the risk of fatal injury is 30% higher for these vulnerable road users. In light of this, we are concerned about a loophole in European law that allows large trucks to be imported to the European Union from America despite not meeting local safety standards. According to data from the European Environment Agency, nearly 5,000 Dodge Rams were brought into Europe in 2023, up by 20% compared with 2022. Cities are finding ways of cracking down on heavy vehicles. Non-residents are now paying much higher parking fees for heavy cars in Paris. But a piecemeal effort will not be enough. The EU needs to consider structural ways of shifting the market towards lighter cars that make the streets safer for all road users.
From Dr. Henning Stein, Finance Fellow, Judge Business School, Cambridge University. This is a global issue that reflects the clash between data-driven policymaking and crude populism. We have the technology to make roads safer. Safe lanes for vehicles equipped with intelligent speed assistance, ISA, and autonomous driving technologies would allow those who value safety to opt into a controlled environment, free from reckless drivers. In Helsinki, integrating ISA with advanced traffic management has led to significant reductions in accidents. Moreover, the necessary infrastructure investments would not only enhance safety, but also provide an economic boost by creating jobs and modernising our transport networks.
From Nick Wills-Johnson, Perth, Australia. Fatalities are very expensive for insurers, particularly in litigious America. In an efficient market, the difference in insurance costs should cover the social cost of the externality that heavy cars impose on other road users. If there is a role for government, it is to mandate third-party insurance to ensure that drivers are offered appropriate prices and react accordingly.
The Biased UN.
From Adam Kogerman, Aurora, Colorado. You claimed that the recent UN vote on Palestine underlined America's weakening clout. Article Unintended Consequences, September 21st. Actually, the vote highlighted the UN's growing irrelevance. Sure, the UN does some good through the provision of humanitarian aid, but it is a net negative contributor to global peace and prosperity. Despite the misnamed Security Council, the UN prevents no conflicts and brings about no peace. Millions of Rwandans, Ukrainians, Sudanese, Lebanese, Syrians, Iraqis and Israelis, among others, can attest to that. It doesn't follow through on its grandiose but unserious pledges to heal the environment and improve the lot of the world's poorest. It provides diplomatic cover to the world's worst human rights abusers and physical cover to terrorist groups. It is consumed by a rabid obsession with denigrating the world's only Jewish state. Only 52% of Americans view it favorably, according to a recent poll from the Pew Research Center. America's occasional inability to hold sway at such a compromised, ineffectual institution is a reflection of the UN's dysfunction and illegitimacy, not an indictment of its unmatched geopolitical influence.
data point.
From Nicholas Lardy, non-resident senior fellow, Peterson Institute for International Economics, Washington, D.C. The difference between the balance of payments data released by China's State Administration of Foreign Exchange, or SAFE, and by customs officials is not the mystery that your briefing on China's opaque economy suggests. Article Lowering the Veil, September 7th. SAFE began to compile and publish balance of payments figures on the basis of the methodology specified in the IMF Balance of Payments Manual beginning in 2015. In 2021, the IMF put out a new guideline to use in accounting for trade involving what it calls factory-less manufacturing. In its official report on the balance of payments covering the first half of 2022, SAFE explains in some detail the subsequent differences between customs and SAFE data. Some of these have been well known and in effect for years. In short, SAFE is following the guidelines of the IMF, and the Customs Administration has not changed its methodology. This explains why the gap in the two series started in 2022. I don't think there is any reason to suggest that the statistical authorities are manipulating the data. Rather, we have full transparency.
We're sorry to see you go.
From Peter Tingling, Associate Professor, BD School of Business, Simon Fraser University, Burnaby, Canada. Bartleby's attrition question, "How many people are leaving my team?" is one that most people can answer, August 31st. Some time ago, when I interviewed a global head of human resources, the head quickly and succinctly responded, 13%, and that compares favourably with our peers. However, the more difficult conversation was the organisation's level of regrettable attrition, people they wished they'd retained but who left of their own accord. Regrettable attrition should be measured against a list of key employees each year, with executive compensation tied to the retention of those vital few. Sadly, my experience is that when good people leave, we usually fall back on the idea that the spilt milk was probably sour anyway.
The sins of the past.
From Michael Phillips, Fort Lee, New Jersey. Museum curators should be careful what they wish for. Cancelling Paul Gauguin because he couldn't keep his hands off young Polynesian girls could lead to a ban on other transgressive artists. Article Off Colour, September 14th. Goodbye Pablo Picasso, a serial sexual predator. No more paintings by Caravaggio either, he was a murderer. Norman Mailer, who stabbed his wife, and William Burroughs, who shot his, should be banished from library shelves. Farewell to Ernest Hemingway also. Cancel culture could see the world's art galleries and libraries emptied out.